الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الاحزاب اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله اسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الاخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة التوبة ان الله اشترى من المؤمنين انفسهم واموالهم بان لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم فقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة الفتح إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم فمن نكس فإنما ينكس على نفسه ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما وقال جل وعلا كما ورد في سورة الأنفال وقاتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين كله لله صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ربنا علمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا أن نجاهد في سبيلك بأموالنا وأنفسنا اللهم وفقنا أن نقيم دينك المتين اللهم وفقنا أن نقيم نظام الخلافة في الأرض آمین یا رب العالمین. Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last night we discussed the sixth or seventh steps of the revolutionary process which I have derived from the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after that we proceeded to study and examine and analyze the seerah Al-Mubarakah, so that we can infer from that seerah the steps of the revolutionary process. And you must be remembering that we completed our study of the first step, that is the da'wah, the revolutionary call of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We understood that the revolutionary ideology of Islam is tawheed. The three essential corollaries of Tawheed cut at the roots of the political, socio-economic system. Sovereignty to Allah alone. You know, the right of ownership to Allah alone. All humans equal. One corollary concerning each aspect of the political, socio-economic system. And we also saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used all the means available to propagate this ideology. Primarily personal contact, man to man. Then inviting people to, you know, Dawat-e-Taam, to have meals with him. You may call it the dinner meeting or the lunch meeting. Then public address from the Koh-e-Safa, the hill rock of Safa. Then the street preaching in the streets of Makkah. All these means which were available, he used them. But let me make two more points about this first step of the revolutionary process of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we shall proceed to the next. Number one, at no stage this da'wah was underground. No element of secrecy. It was a natural progress, natural exfoliation. It was naturally to begin with from person to person. This you may call the PP call.
He contacted those who were near to him in relation, or they were friends who knew him very intimately. So that is the natural progress. At no stage there was any secrecy involved, and it was never an underground movement. Point number two, that the medium of his dawah was Quran and Quran alone. You know, 2/3 of the Quran consists of the Makki surahs. And, you know, the subject matter of the Makki surahs primarily is Iman. Ahkam, they were revealed after Hijra in the Madani surah. So 2/3 of Quran discusses Iman, primarily Tawheed. And we know it from the Quran that the medium of his da'wah was Quran. Inzar through Quran. Tabshir through Quran. قُلْ أُوْحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِأُنْذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ بِهِ. Warning through Quran. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَتُنْذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمَ الْلُدَّةِ. All tabshir through Quran. All inzar through Quran. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ الْوَعِيدِ. All tazkir through Quran. Tabligh of Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. And then he said, for the ummati, you know, each one of us, the Prophet says, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. So the subject matter of tabligh has to be ayah, Quran. And then we have at 4 places in the Quran the basic methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, given by the word yatlu alaihim ayatihi. Huwa allazi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum yatlu alaihim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. Laqad manna Allahu 'alal mu'minina iz ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum yatlu alaihim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. Four places. The beginning, the first point is يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. So these two points I wanted to make. Number one, at no stage was this an underground movement. Number two, the medium of da'wah, tabligh, inzar, tabshir, tazkir, that was Quran and Quran alone. That is why we find very few sermons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never gave lengthy sermons. Always he recited the Quran. Wherever he went to call people towards Allah, he recited the surah of Quran. So that much I think should do for this first step of the revolutionary process of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let us come to the second step. Organization. Here I want to make a very important point. The original basis of some utah and organization, listening and obeying, in the case of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that he was the messenger of Allah. Whatever he was saying was from Allah. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And every ummati, whosoever accepted his claim that he is the messenger of Allah, he had to obey him anyhow. Let me quote, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We didn't send any messenger except that he should be obeyed under instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. So many times in Quran. Obey Allah and obey his messenger. And then I told you the da'wah of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been summarized in Quran in many places in two words. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Every messenger said it. You have worship for Allah, to worship for Allah, worship Allah alone, and obey me. So basic organizational factor in the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he was the messenger of Allah. And every ummati, whosoever believed in him, that he was the messenger of Allah, he had to obey him anyhow. What does it mean? He didn't need any formal organization. But we know that he adopted a formal basis of organization also. And what is that formal basis? That is bay'ah. He took the pledge from his companions, took the bay'ah. I'll very shortly tell you what bay'ah means in Arabic, literally, and how you know from that literal meaning this institution has evolved. But first of all, we must understand, why did he adopt this formal basis of organization? Then he didn't need it. He was the messenger of Allah. Every Muslim had to obey him. And obedience to the Prophet could be blind, because he knows from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't know. We couldn't question him. No ummati could question him. But you know, he adopted the institution of bay'ah. Why? It's a very important issue. Why did he took bay'ah? Why did he take the bay'ah from his companion? The answer is that he had to provide a sunnah for posterity, for the ummah to come. Because we know from that hadith from where we started, there is going to be Khilafah ala Minhaj an-Nubuwwah again, and that will be global. And that can be established only acting on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how would the organization be brought into existence when after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there was no messenger or prophet to come? What would be the basis of that future revolutionary party of Islam in future? On what basis the Muslims will join to make a party? There must be some basis. And it was the duty of the Prophet to leave behind him a sunnah, a model. As I told you yesterday, and I recited the same ayah again today in the beginning, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And this uswa, this model, is, you know, all round in every respect. So where could we find the basis of the organization? How we could found a party? He had to leave a sunnah for posterity. So actually that was the need which he fulfilled when he took bay'ah. Now let me quote one hadith from Hazrat Al-Harith Al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala. This is included in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and the Jami of Imam Tirmidhi rahimahumullah. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, آمركم بخمسين. O Muslims, I command you, I ordain upon you five things. They are essential. Allah amarani bihinna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to convey to you that these five things are imperative for every Muslim. Bil jama'ati wa sam'i wa ta'ati wal hijrati wal jihad fi sabilillah. You must organize yourself into a party. Jama'ah. You must be in the form of a jama'ah. Number two, this jama'ah has to be very disciplined, not a loose association or society. Discipline. Bil jama'ati wa sam'i wa ta'ati. I have explained yesterday. What is the sam' wa ta'at? Listen and obey. This is the proverbial discipline of the army. There is not to reason high, there is but to do and die. Listen and obey. And now this jama'ah, which is based on listen and obey, fasma'u wa'atiyu, what will it do? Al-hijrah wal-jihad fi sabilillah. About these two concepts, what is hijrah, what is jihad, I speak inshallah in detail tomorrow. But here, from this hadith, you get three words. These three things are imperative for every Muslim, according to this hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. آمُرُكُمْ بِخَمْسٍ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالتَّاعَةِ. You must belong to a party, and the party should be organized and disciplined to the level of listen and obey. Now, this same word has been used in the bay'ah that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took from the Sahaba, his companions. And it became the basis of the Hizbullah of his time. It's a long hadith, but I have to quote it word to word. But please note, it is from Hazrat Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala al. Number two, it is muttafaqun alayh. Agreed upon by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. And I have told you time and again, there is no higher level of any hadith in authenticity than this, which on the, you know, on which both this Aimmah, both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim agree upon the authenticity of that hadith. Now, what is that hadith? Hazrat Ubadah ibn Sabit رضي الله تعالى عنه says, بَايَعْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. We pledged ourselves to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. We gave bayah to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, what were the articles of that bayah? You please note them, count them, understand. Number one, عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. We shall listen and obey. فِي الْعُسْرِ وَالْيُسْرِ. Whether it is difficult or easy. Irrespective of the fact. Whether the conditions are easy or difficult. Whether that command which is being given is difficult or easy. Number three. وَالْمَنْشَةِ وَالْمَقْرَهِ. Irrespective of whether we feel ourselves inclined to do it or we have to force ourselves to do it. Because if personally you also agree with that proposal, then there is an inclination from inside. You are ready to comply with the command. But if you feel that no, the other alternative could be better, then you know you will have to force yourself to obey. Number four, وَعَلَىٰ أَصَرَةٍ عَلَيْنَا. And we shall obey despite you may prefer others to us. We will never challenge why you have put this person. He is a newcomer. You have made them. You have made him the Amir. You have put him on the command. No. You can prefer anybody to us. It's up to you. Number five. وَعَلَىٰ لَا نُنَازِ الْأَمْرَهُ لَهُ. And we pledge ourselves that we shall not quarrel with those whom you place at the helm of affairs, whom you give the office. We shall not quarrel with them. We shall cooperate with them. We shall obey them also. وَعَلَىٰ أَن نَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ أَيْنَمَا كُنَّا. And that we shall say whatever we will feel is correct. We will give our opinions. We will give our advice. Wherever we will be. And we will not be daunted lest other people reproach us. They might ridicule us. لَا نَخَافُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِنَ. We shall not fear any reproach, any ridicule. Now this is the bayah. And if you ponder over these wordings, you know, this is my, you know, feeling. That's the most comprehensive constitution of a revolutionary party given in a few words in this hadith. All the doors of fitna are closed. You can't say because I don't agree with this proposal, I can't comply with the commandment. No. You can't say because you have preferred others to me, he's a junior person, I'm more knowledgeable, I'm senior. I'm your old colleague and comrade. How come you put him superior to me? No. All doors and gates of fitna closed. بَايَعْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَّلَّمُ عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ فِي الْعُسْرِ وَالْيُسْرِ وَالْمَنْشَةِ وَالْمَكْرَهِ وَعَلَى عَصَرَةٍ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى لَا نُنَازِ الْأَمْرَهُ لَهُ وَعَلَى نَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ أَنَّمَا كُنَّا لَا نَخَافُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Muttafaqun alayh. Now let me quote two ahadith more. One is from Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. It's a very beautiful hadith. You must remember it. Learn it by heart. Kana ashabun nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yunshiduna fi ghazwatil ahzab. Nahnu alladhina bayaru muhammada alal jihad ma baqina abada. رواه الامام البخاري رحمه الله. The companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم were chanting this couplet, this shair, and in chorus, in one voice. And what is that? نحن الذين بايعوا محمدا. We are those who have pledged ourselves to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is that pledge for? Alal jihad ma baqina abada. We shall continue jihad and qital fi sabilillah as long as we are living. This is our pledge till death. نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا كَانَ أَصْحَابُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُنْشِدُونَ فِي غَزْوَةِ الْأَحْزَابِ هَذَا الشَّيْءِ. And this is the, you know, hadith from Sahih of Imam Bukhari. Now the second hadith, it is from the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And the reporter is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. According to this hadith, the Prophet said, Mam mata wa laysa fi unuqihi bayatun mata meetatan jahiliyatan. Whosoever Muslim dies in a state that he doesn't have the chain of bayah round his neck, he dies the death not in iman, but the death of jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah is the term, you know, the conditions before the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arabia, that is called jahiliyyah. Mam mata wa laysa fi unuqihi bayatun mata meetatan jahiliyatan. He should be warned that he is going to die not as a Muslim or a mu'min, but the death will be that of the death of jahiliyyah, period of jahiliyyah. A'azanallahu min zalik. So these are the ahadith. And let me explain here. There can be only two conditions possible in this world. Either the Islamic State, the system of caliphate is established. Then you have to give that bayah to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, to the Khalifatul Muslimin. Just as the Muslims, they gave their bayah to Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, Uthman, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Or if it is not established, you have to establish it. You have to make jihad for that. You have to struggle for that. You have to strive for that. And for that you must have a party. You can't do it without party. أَمُرُكُمْ بِخَمْسٍ بِالْجَمَاةِ وَالسَّمِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَالْهِجْرَةِ وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Now you give this bayah to the Amir of that party. So there can be no condition, no third alternative possible. That is why the Prophet is saying, مَمْ مَاتَ وَلَيْسَ فِي عُرُقِهِ بَيَاتٌ Mata meetatan jahiliyyah. Now what is this bay'ah? Please understand. This bay'ah is derived from the word bay'ah. What does bay'ah mean? Most of people must know. To sell something. Bay'ah shara. Ishtara yashtari. To purchase something. Ba'yabiyo. To sell something. So we call it bay'ah shara. What is happening in the market everywhere? In any store? In any, you know, bazaar? What is happening? Bay'ah shara. The shopkeeper is selling, and you know, customers are purchasing. Now this word has occurred in ayah number 111. 111 of Surah At-Tawbah. Most beautiful ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the mu'mineen, from those who have really iman, who really believe, their lives as well as their belongings. Everything they have sold. And Allah purchased them. In return of Jannah, He promises He will give you Jannah. That is the price that you will get in the hereafter. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Now when you are sold, now this life of yours, all belongings that you have, now they are with Allah. That is, now you have to use it for the cause of Allah. And for that, يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. On the basis of this bayah, they are going to war for the cause of Allah. And they are killing the enemies of Allah, and they are being killed themselves also. They are being martyred. 70 of the kuffar killed at Badr. 70 of Sahaba martyred at Uhud. It was not a one-sided process, one-way, you know, process. It was the by natural process, two-way process. يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. They are killing also the enemies of Allah. And they are being killed and martyred also. This ayah is a very long one. I come to the end. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ. So be happy. Have the bashara. Have the glad tidings on this sale that you have done with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the biggest success that a human being can attain. Having sold himself and all his belongings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most profitable bargain which a human being can make. Now this is actually the bay'u shara is between whom? Between Allah and the mu'mins. But Allah is not present before us. So there is a third person, and that was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba sold themselves to Allah, but practically they put themselves at the disposal of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you are the messenger of Allah, we are at your disposal. Whenever you say, we will go to war, risking our lives. Whenever you say, we will present everything that we have for the cause of Allah. So now this is bay'ah. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ. So actually bay'ah was being done on the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the bay'ah was between Allah and the mu'min. You understand this point? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ. But bay'ah, that was being done to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is meaning of ayah number 10 of Suratul Fath, which I recited. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people who are doing bay'ah to you, actually they are making bay'ah to Allah. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. It's a tripartite agreement. Hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the hand of the Muslim who is doing that bay'ah, and over his hand there is another hand which is invisible, and that is the hand of Allah. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, over their hands. فَمَنْ نَكَسَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُسُرِ نَفْسِي. Whosoever, after doing this bay'ah, breaks it, he takes all the wabal on himself, all the punishment on himself. After making such a bargain, after making such an agreement, if you break it, you go back on it, you know, you risk all the punishment. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا أَحَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهَ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And whosoever fulfills this bay'ah, its requirements, then to him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely give the best reward, the big reward. وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا أَحَدَ عَلَيْهُ اللَّهَ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. There's another misunderstanding about bay'ah. People think that after you take bay'ah or you give bay'ah to someone, now you have to follow him blindly. Not to question him. No, not at all. The bay'ah to Muhammad could be blind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was getting the direct instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even he was commanded and ordered to have mashwara. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. You must consult your companions. And we find in history in Sira, at many times, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a command, and some of the Sahaba came, that if it is according to wahi, well, سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَانَا. If it's your personal opinion, will you please allow us to give our opinion? And the Prophet said, yes, it happened, you know. In Ghazwat al-Badr, the Prophet fixed and selected one place that we should camp here. Then some Sahaba came. If it is based on wahi, we don't have to say anything. If it's your personal opinion, so if you allow, we want to give an opinion of ours. He said, yes, come out. They said, in our opinion, that place is more suitable for camping. And the Prophet said, okay. Go and have the camp there. So that was the practice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَانْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ.
Strict and very hard in your and harsh in your behavior, many of them would have dispersed from around you. So you keep on forgiving them for their mistakes, shortcomings, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He should also forgive them. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And you must include them in the mashwara. You have consultation from them. You take opinions from them. But faiza azamta, when you make a decision, then this is the point. At no time, at no place and no moment in the whole of seerah we find that the opinions were counted and the decision was taken on the majority vote. No, not at all. It was up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he accepted the advice, okay. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ, then you have made a decision. فَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهِ, then you have tawakkul and confidence and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't change it. Don't have a flickering mind. This is what happened at Uhud. Personal opinion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that we should defend Medina, you know, from within the walls of the city. We shouldn't go out. But some of the Sahaba, especially the youth, they said, we want Shahada. Especially those who couldn't have joined, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Badr. They had missed that, you know, opportunity. So they wanted, we must go and fight them out in the open field. The Prophet, taking their advice and, you know, keeping in view their sentiments and emotions, he decided, okay, let's go out. Have an open confrontation in an open field. But then he took upon himself, you know, the armor, the zirah, which was very unusual. So the Sahaba understood something is going to happen. Perhaps we have committed a mistake. Then the same Sahaba told him, okay, if it's your opinion that we should defend the city from within the walls of the city, we take our opinion back. The Prophet said, no. The decision has been taken. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلَ لِلَّهِ. Then you should have tawakkul, all the faith in Allah. So this is, you know, the basis of the organization that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left for us as a model. And let me add here, this is the only basis of organization in the whole of Quran, in the whole of seerah, in the whole of Zakhira of Hadith, throughout our history. Caliphate was based on Bay'ah, then the Caliphate was turning into Mulukiyah, into kingship. Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma came in the field to challenge on the basis of Bay'ah. Abdullah ibn Zubair, he came on the basis of Bay'ah. Throughout our history, it is Bay'ah. Then you know, in the last century, Mehdi Sudani resisted and fought the Britishers in Sudan on the basis of Bay'ah. Sanusi in Libya, he resisted the Italians and he fought on the basis of Bay'ah. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed, Barelvi rahimahullah, he took Bay'ah. And you know, even our institution of Irshad, you know this, Murshid, and you know the followers of the Murshid, that is also Bay'ah. There's no other basis of organization in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in Hadith, throughout our history. No other basis. And even in this very century, Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun established al-Bay'ah. That was in 20s. And in 1913, Abul Kalam Azad founded Hizbullah on the basis of Bay'ah. And now this institution has become nearly dead. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have revived it. We have founded Tanzeem Islami on the basis of Bay'ah. Now let me come to the third point, the training of the cadres. What was the methodology of the training of the cadres for this revolutionary struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I enumerated, you know, what are the objectives of the training. Number one,
maintenance, rather increasing the understanding of the revolutionary ideology. This should be in the minds, fresh. It should keep fresh in the minds of the workers. It shouldn't fade away. For that, read Quran. Go on reading Quran. Go on reading Quran. You know, you find it how many times in the Quran, especially in the very beginning. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum al-layla illa qaleela, nisfahu aw inqus minhu qaleela, aw zid alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila. Standing for half of the night or two-thirds of the night and reciting Quran only. And how much was the Quran revealed till that time? Till that time, when Surah Muzzammil was revealed, a few ayats. What does it mean? Go on repeating, go on repeating, go on repeating. Hammer this Quran into your personality. That is the biggest basis of the training of the cadres of the Mujahideen, Sar-e-Iqamat-e-Deen. Then, the workers, the revolutionaries, they should be ready to sacrifice everything. Because revolution is not a game, is not a hobby. You have to confront the system. You'll have to make sacrifices. You must be ready to give everything for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you want, really want, to establish the deen of Allah on earth, to establish the system of caliphate on earth. What is the basis of that? Please note here. It's the iman bil akhirah. If you have real belief that the real life is hereafter, not here. I use the term, the imperial bank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deposit everything there. That is the real life. So, a mu'min who really believes in akhirah, will he ever hesitate to give everything for the cause of Allah? He knows it is not going anywhere. It's being deposited somewhere. Let me quote a hadith, a very beautiful hadith. A goat was sacrificed in the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. All the meat was distributed to the poor, to Ashab al-Suffa. Because the Prophet was very fond of the, you know, meat of the shoulder. Katif. So she kept one, you know, shoulder in the house. And the Prophet came, he inquired, what was done to the meat of that goat? The reply was, all the meat has been distributed. The question was, what remains of that goat? The answer was, nothing remains except this katif, except this, you know, shoulder which I kept for you. He said, no, whole of the goat has been saved, except this which we shall consume. What you gave for the cause of Allah is the saving. It's saved forever. But you consume, it's gone. The basic, you know, that basic value is changed. On the basis of what? Iman bil akhirah. I don't have time, I wanted to quote, and let me quote. There's a saying of Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't accumulate wealth on this earth. There's fear of thieves and dacoits. You must accumulate and deposit your wealth with Allah. There's no fear of any theft, any loss. Zameen par jama na karo, jahan keera bhi kharab karta hai. Chori ka bhi andesha hai, daake ka bhi khauf hai. Aasman par jama karo, jahan na keera kharab kar sakta hai. Na chori ka andesha hai, na daake ka khauf hai. Isliye ki main tumse sahi kehta hu. Jahan tumhara maal hoga, wahi tumhara dil bhi hoga. You accumulate wealth here, your heart will be here. And you will find very difficult to die. If you have sent everything beforehand, deposited in the bank of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know your heart will remain there. Wherever is your wealth, your heart will be there. How beautiful. So this is the basis, Iman bil Akhirah. This is the basis of the Tarbiyah. Then, there is another, you know, very basic requirement of the training of revolutionary cadres. They should be accustomed to discipline. To listening and obeying. And actually, the most effective basis of that discipline and accustoming of the Sahaba to that discipline was the passive resistance that was going on. And I am coming to that fourth point now. Take all persecution without any retaliation. You know, a person sees they are going to kill me. They are asking me to lie bare back on live cinders, burning coal. They are going to roast me alive. So he is desperate. And a desperate man will be killed after killing 1, 2, 3, 4 persons. But not allowed. You are not allowed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Raise your hands even in self-defense. This obedience actually, this was the biggest training for the Sahaba, for the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which accustomed, they were accustomed to obeying and listening. Now, the fourth objective I told you of the training, because Islam wants not only a material revolution, a spiritual revolution, a moral revolution, an ethical revolution. For that it is essential that the people who are striving for that revolution must be purified themselves. Their tazkiyah, tajliyatul arwah, their souls and spirits should shine from within. Their nufus, they must be purified from within. That is essential. What's the methodology? Number one, remembering Allah, zikr. And for that zikr, topmost zikr is Quran. And number two is salah. Aqim as-salata li zikri. Establish prayer for my zikr. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqim as-salah. Inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar wa la zikrullahi akbar. These two things. Recite Quran. Number two, establish prayers. Then the other side of this training is, you must control your nafs, your id, your libido. And there should be some exercises to control. But mind here, Islam wants self-control, not self-annihilation. Self-annihilation is the objective of Rahmaniyah, mysticism, of tasawwuf. Islam says self-control, not self-annihilation. The Prophet said, وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your nafs also has rights over you. Don't kill it. Don't annihilate it. Use it. Your nafs is like a horse. And your spirit is like the rider. All that is needed is, you should have a strong horse, strong nafs. But the rider should be stronger, controlling the horse. If the horse is weak, it can't take you very far. So keep the nafs strong. But the ruh should be stronger. So that the rider is controlling the horse and he is not at the mercy of the horse. That is the philosophy of Islam. The rahbaniyata, la rahbaniyata fil Islam. This monasticism, this khanqahi nidam of tarbiyat and tazkiyah, that is, you know, something imported from outside to the world of Islam. The system of tazkiyah and tarbiyah and ta'lim of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to understand from the seerah and sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is that? Keep psalm to be able to control, you know, your animal desires. Spend and spend and spend. so that the lust for wealth diminishes and decreases. And on top of it, stand before your Lord during the night when others are sleeping. Tahajjud. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. And in tahajjud, read Quran, Quran, Quran. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَحَجَّدْ بِهِ. Keep awake with Quran. So I've mentioned in this training, at three places we need Quran. The basis of the training of the cadres of the revolutionary workers of Islam is based mainly on the Quran. Now I'm coming to the fourth. This fourth, you know, passive resistance, I told you, it started from when? From the very beginning. I explained yesterday. Actually, it is the revolutionaries who initiate this conflict. The system is wrong. What you believe is wrong. Your beliefs are false. Your system is unjust. So actually the conflict has been started by the revolutionaries. And actually, it's a reaction, you know, from the existing system. And I told you, and let us come to the seerah now, for 3 years, all the persecution was, number one, verbal only. No physical assault on any of the Sahaba or on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was all verbal. And it was centered on the person of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. He had gone crazy. Majnoon, Shair, Sahir. Actually what they tried was to suppress his power of will, willpower. And what we call today, character assassination. So that people don't listen to him. That would be sufficient. The movement will be finished. If people stop listening to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be the end of this movement. So the character assassination of the Prophet, Majnoon, he's shy, yes, very good shy, no doubt, but he's shy, nothing else. It seems he has been possessed by some evil spirit. He was a very good person, but alas, what we feel is that he has been possessed by some jinn, by some evil spirit. Oh no, he has, you know, an ajami, a non-Arab person in his home. He has confined him to his home, and he is taking dictations from him. And he comes to us and says, well, this is the wahi from Allah. اِقْتَتَبَهَا فَيَّتُمْ لَا عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَاسِيلًا. All these things were said about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For 3 years, please again note, the total persecution was, number one, verbal, and it centered only on the person of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when they felt, oh, this wind is blowing stronger and stronger, people are listening to him. Our own youth are gathering around him. Our slaves, they are gathering around him. Then they started the physical persecution. And now this physical persecution came maximum to whom? Number one, to the slaves, who had no rights whatsoever. They could be killed. Nobody could ask anybody. Because you own the person. Just as you own the goat, at any time you can kill it. Nobody is going to ask you, why you did? My own goat, who are you to ask me? But he was my slave, I killed him. And number two, Khulafa. I told you Makkah was the city of one tribe. Either a Qarshi could live there or somebody who has taken some refuge of a Qarshi, Halif of a Qarshi. They didn't have any other support. If the same person who is the guardian, if he is persecuting them, nobody can say anything to him. That is what happened. Actually, the uncle of Abu Jahl was the Halif of Hazrat Yasir رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, he migrated from Yemen to Makkah. He was not a Qurayshi. And he married Hazrat Sumayya. She was, you know, a slave girl of that uncle of Abu Jahl. With his permission, Yasir رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ married her رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, and Allah gave them the son Ammar ibn Yasir. Now this family of three persons, after the death of the uncle of Abu Jahl, they were at the mercy of Abu Jahl. He can do anything to them. That is why the worst punishment and worst persecution was given to those by Abu Jahl, and finally they were martyred. Number three, the target of persecution was the youth, because the elders of the family had the right over them. Musab bin Umair, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Khabbab ibn al-Arq. So, you know, you must never have heard anything being done to Hamza. How could they do anything to Hamza, radiallahu ta'ala an? To Umar. How could they do anything to Umar? So actually these were the three categories of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who became the targets of the worst persecution. But what is necessary to understand is that the command of the Prophet, the order of the day, for 12 long years, or at least 9 long years, because for the first 3 years there was no physical persecution. So you exclude them from the Makki period. So at least 8 to 9 years of the Makki period, the order of the day was, no retaliation whatsoever, take every persecution without any retaliation. They might kill you. You stand to lose nothing. You will go straight to paradise. And that is the word, you know, that was the verse which the Prophet used to say to Hazrat Ammar and Hazrat Sumayya رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہما. Ya ala yasir, isbiru. Isbiru ya ala yasir, fa inna ma'idakum al-jannah. Jannah, paradise is the place of your promise. Your promised land is Jannah. So have patience. Take everything patiently. And I explained yesterday that this is the most important part, because the wave of sympathy of the silent majority of the Quraysh and the people of Makkah was going slowly and slowly in favor of those people who were being persecuted. Just imagine, they must have asked, what was the crime of Sumayya? What was the crime of Yasir? What's the crime of Bilal being dragged like the dead body of an animal? What was the crime of Khabbab being made to lie down on burning fire, burning coal? What was the answer? In every case, no, no, nothing. They committed nothing. No, no crime. None of them committed a theft or anything else. Their only crime is that they say there's no God except Allah. And number two, Muhammad is his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What would be the logical, natural, inevitable effect? Sympathy is going towards those persecuted people. And that actually became very effective in the long run. Because when you are called to fight those people whom you feel are much better than you, you don't have, you know, the moral courage. That was one of the causes why the 1,000 strong army of the Quraysh was defeated like anything by 313. They knew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of human beings that we have ever seen. Abu Bakr, such a gentle person. We are going to fight them. These people, we know their character. We know the high level of morality they have. After all, they were human beings. They had come. They had to come. Because they belong to a tribe. And chief of the tribe has ordered them to come. To fight these Muslims. But everybody has his own feelings. And you know, the feelings of the great majority of the people of Makkah, within their hearts, you know, they had gone in the favor of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ.
Now, I wanted to finish these 6 steps in 1 hour. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. And I think I'll have to end here, stop here. And now the next, which is the most important and most neglected part of the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is active resistance. Passive resistance changing into active resistance. This part of the seerah has been, in a way, you know, it has been deliberately hidden by even the Muslims of today. Those people, the authors who have written seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 20th century of Christian era, they have deliberately hidden this part of the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'll make it amply clear, inshallah, in my next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.